Order of worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son,
Lord, Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God in heaven,
in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus, Chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, figured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Hymn 413. Please be seated.
What happened after Moses had come face to face with the glory of God? God is light. God reflects the glory. God allowed Moses to look upon His glory and live. But once Moses looked upon that glory, he could not stay the same. His appearance was changed. His face was aglow. Moses didn't even realize it. He comes down the mountain and everybody backs up. Why? They're afraid. They're afraid of the light. They're afraid of the glory of God that is reflected in Moses' face. So, what does Moses do? Well, as wild and bizarre as it seems, Moses puts a veil over his face so he doesn't scare anybody. He doesn't want to offend God, so when he speaks to God, he removes the veil. But when he's speaking to the people, he puts the veil back up. Now, what we're not told in our reading for tonight is, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. After a while, the glow of Moses' face began to fade. Moses knew it. And so what did he do? He kept the veil on his face. Why? He didn't want anybody to know that his face wasn't shining anymore. He was special. It had all become about him rather than the glory of God, as if somehow the glory was coming from Moses, rather from God. My friends, we live in a dark world. The darkness of sin is all around us. And if you don't have enough reminders of the darkness of sin in the world all around us, then take a good look in the mirror. Because the darkness of sin lives inside of each and every one of us. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The light should scare us. Like when you move a rock and that dark spot under the rock is finally exposed to the light after days or weeks or years of darkness. What happens to all the little slimy things that have been living under that rock? They scamper down from the mountain. Jesus has a job to perform. Because the glory of God is manifest most clearly when Jesus, God in the flesh, hangs bleeding and dying, suspended between heaven and hell for you and me and the life and light of the world. This is the glory of God, that His Son should die for poor, miserable sinners like us. My friends, the Mount of Transfiguration isn't for Jesus. It's for us. We get a preview of coming attractions. We get a chance to see not only God in His glory, as we will see Him on the last day, but we see a picture and a reflection of ourselves, as we will reflect that light of God for all eternity. The light shines in a dark place. The world, our heart, that light that God gives us and sustains us, as we heard in our epistle reading, is His holy word. This world is dark. God gives us the light. How many times doesn't the darkness of sin, our own sin or somebody else's sin, overwhelm us? We begin to question. We begin to doubt. Does God really love me? Is God powerful enough to do anything about this? Why does suffering happen to me? Why do people get sick? Why do people die? Why do I keep falling back into my same old sinful habits? God's Word, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, is like a light shining in the gloom and in the dark place. The light that points us to Jesus, God's proof of His love for you. The light that points us to forgiveness, life, and salvation. Not because of what we do or who we are, but because of what God has done in and through Jesus Christ. How He has poured out all of His glory into us and onto us in the waters of holy baptism. As He feeds us with His glory in His body and blood in and under bread and wine. As we hear again and again, the light and the life Christ in His Word. You know, we don't use the service in our hymnal called evening prayer very often. We don't know it very well. The tunes and the liturgies are kind of strange. Quite frankly, people whine and complain when we use it. But it starts with your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the light of Christ's love and forgiveness would shine in your dark place today, tomorrow, and forever. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Stand for the offertory, page 159. Truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at His transfiguration revealed His glory to His disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim His cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying, are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Christ, you are my joy.
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. We have thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 632. 632.